Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Don't you date me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could take me to Des Moines, Idaho. I don't think that's where Des Moines is. Whatever. You could take me to a shitty fucking town, leave me there, and then I will hitchhike my way back home, knock on the door, and say, I still love you. My guest today is a comedian, podcaster, and makeup lover. They co-hosted the Good For You podcast with Whitney Cummings and now has a new hilarious series called You Did This, where they interview comedians while they do a timed makeup look with no prior instructions. Ooh, get ready to have your nasty little ears have the sounds. I don't know. I'm dying. I'm so tired. Okay. Oh, they're funny. It's Benton Ray.
Hello. Let me tell you, it's Glitch City over here. So I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I was like, should I talk now? I was waiting on my name because I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, can you hear me now, Benton?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, Benton, it's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you, Nicole.
We haven't really talked since you opened for me in, where were we?
Nashville.
And then you didn't come to stand up live in Huntsville, did you?
No, I was supposed to, but it got double booked. Like, you had booked me and then the club booked someone else.
Yes, 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 yes. That was a fun weekend in Nashville. You were great. You were so funny.
So fun. I still tell people to this day, it was one of my favorite shows I've ever done. Your audience members are so much fun.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not responsible for it, but my crowds typically are like really sickening. Like, they're just,
yes,
they're down to fucking clown. They like when you go a little weird. They stay with you on premises. Like, I really do love doing live shows because my crowds are just, they're great. Sometimes unruly, but very good.
That's all part of it, though. But you have to take credit for a little bit of that, Nicole. I mean, you definitely attract people. You know what I mean? People go to see people like them. You know, they go to see somebody that makes them feel connected. So you are creating that crowd. You are the fans you have. You know what I mean?
Oh, Benton, thank you. Okay, Benton, are you single? Are you dating? What's going on?
I am single. Fun fact, okay. I'm like super single. I'm probably more single than you.
Why do you say this?
I've never dated anyone. I've never kissed anyone. I'm a virgin.
Oh, wait.
right. I think I did know this about you.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can we get into it? Is that okay?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, I brought it up. It's my fault, right?
Well, sometimes you bring up things that you're like, you know what? I don't want it. And that's perfectly okay if you don't want it. But can we talk about it?
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Is this a choice? Well, yeah, it's a choice. Yes.
So, I mean, I hope. But also, I will say, well, there's two sides of it. There's like,
okay,
one side that I think very much is just like, I've never met anyone that I have an interest in doing those things with. And I'm like, okay, totally content with that. And then on the other hand, I think there is a part of me that it's kind of like a defense mechanism from being younger. I grew up like in the middle of nowhere, the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned really early on that the thing that people don't really care about if someone's, LGBTQ or different, as long as they're like an accessory to them, as long as they're like the best friend, or they can like, mm-hmm, you know, take them shopping, or it's the sexual part of those things people don't like. And so I think I kind of told myself younger, I was like, oh, if I can like not have crushes and not care about like being attracted to people, that I can kind of like, no one ever be like, oh, this, you know, gay boy is, he's hitting on us or he likes us. Uh-huh. Like if I kind of neuter that part of it, I can kind of protect myself.
Oh,
and I do
wow.
think that kind of bled over a little bit into my adulthood. But also, I think a lot of it now is just like, I just haven't met anyone that I really care for any of that stuff with.
Interesting.
But I would like to, so let's figure it out.
Okay. So what are you attracted to? And maybe you're asexual? Is that?
No. I used to love
that. Was a very quick no. No.
No, because I've thought about it so much. Like, I've thought about it so much to the point where, mm-hmm, like, and I could be wrong, but my understanding of asexual is that, like, you just don't have the desire to be sexual.
Uh-huh. I think.
And yes. And I feel like I have the desire to be sexual. I just don't have, like, I'm just not going to, like, throw myself out there and be like, I'm going to find it. Because you could find it. Just not, I think, my mindset of it. But I don't think I'm asexual because I've definitely thought about that. But I used to love to tell people I was, because nothing shuts that conversation down faster than being like, I'm asexual. But then I quit doing it because I felt it was like maybe a little rude for me to just be claiming a thing I'm not. So
maybe you're demisexual. I know that I think it's demisexual where you need to have like a connection. Okay, so I just found a bunch of terms.
It's when you have to have sex with Demi Lovato playing in the background?
You have to have sex with Demi Lovato. Oh, and aromantic. That's someone who experiences little to no romantic attraction regardless of sex or gender. Autosexual, a person who's sexually attracted to themselves?
Wait, you can be attracted to yourself?
Yes, someone's desire to engage in sexual behavior such as masturbation does not... that doesn't determine whether they're autosexual, but it's someone who's literally attracted to themselves.
What does determine? That's great. I didn't know that was even an option, because like, I might weigh that one.
There's so many. So demisexual, that's on the asexual spectrum. This sexual orientation describes people who have experienced sexual attraction only under specific circumstances. Interesting. Gray sexual. What's that?
Gray sexual.
That's not asexual or aromantic. It's somewhere in the middle. This is a lot.
Yeah, that feels like it could be anything. That just feels like everyone would be that one.
Boy, oh boy, oh. Omnisexual, similar to pansexual. Ooh, okay, hold on. Let's sapiosexual. Oh, sexual attraction based on intelligence?
Oh, that'd be a tough one.
Yeah, I'm not sapiosexual. You better give me a dummy.
Yeah, that's me. Right. I'm like, I want the one holding up the fish in the picture.
Yeah, he likes to fish and there's nothing else in that brain. You better work. okay, so you're working on it. You're looking. Are you on the apps?
I'm not an app person. I have tried the apps because I'll try anything as far as like, mm-hmm, like I'm not like, nobody likes me, but I'm not going to try. I don't really talk about it that much, but I'm trying. And so, yeah, I've done the apps. I personally never have good experiences on them. I don't know about you, but it's not for me.
No, I'm having a terrible time. It's the worst. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
The last time that I got on an app, a man who was 28, I was 30 at the time, told me mm-hmm. that I was a cougar, and I don't even know if I'm allowed to be a cougar.
I mean, I feel like older gentlemen identifying people are daddies, and I think a cougar is for a woman, but also, I don't fucking know. But also, it's a 2-year age gap. You're contemporaries.
I was like, are people being ageist this early? Is this happening like this soon? It's just always a lot. It's a lot of like the same question. I don't know if this is what it is like for straight people, but a lot of the times, the interaction is like very similar. It's like, what are you looking for? And I was like, well, I was just looking to talk on this app. Like, but it always has to be like something more. Like, but I'm like, I don't know you, so I'm not looking for a lot.
I've gotten everything that ranges from like, you want to fuck, to like, hi, how are you? Or to like, straightforward, can I take you out on a date? And those are my favorite. My favorite message I've ever gotten is, hi, you're cute. Have you ever been, or can I take you on a date?
Yeah, that's...
Because it's like, sure, okay. I refuse to go back and forth on an app because you can make up a whole different person when you don't hear the voice or like inflections or like what they actually look like.
Yeah.
Or like what they smell like. So like for me, a couple back and forths and we got to get out into the real world, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I at least need like a name. Like, I feel like we're skipping names. Like, I mean, I was like, we need like a hobby. Like what do you like? I need to know something about what I'm walking into. I mean, if not, I would sign up for a blind date. Like, that's not... But I will say I mostly also have the problem where almost every app I'm on, I end up matching with more straight guys or curious guys than I do anything else, which always shocks me because I feel like I very much, in my mind anyways, I feel like guys like that are more attracted to, like, super effeminate. And I know that I'm very effeminate, but I feel like I do fall somewhere visually in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Of effeminate and masculine. So I'm always like so shocked by their interest. But like 9 times out of 10, I have more messages from quote unquote curious or straight men than I ever do gay people on those apps. And so then I'm just like, well, now.
Interesting.
I was like, so now this just feels like self-harm.
I don't want to be your dirty little secret.
Right.
Wait, so you've never been kissed. You're like the Drew Barrymore movie, which I love very much. Have you never been in a position to be kissed? You're adorable. Like, I feel like people be trying to smooch you all the time.
I feel like I get many a compliment from a woman. Women all day are like, your eyes, you're gorgeous, you're beautiful. And I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I feel the same way about you. I feel the same way about women. because, I mean, nothing is more embarrassing than being attracted to men. Like, I mean, like, sir, have you met men?
I think it's sad. Yeah. It's, you know.
But no, I mean, to answer your question, no, I never. I mean, I grew up in like such a small town. I was being gothic. I was being accused of witchcraft, as most people know. Mm-hmm. It was rough for me. No one was really around to kiss me. I was running from villagers.
Uh-huh.
and then as I got older, I think it was just like, you don't miss what you didn't have, you know?
Fair.
So, no, I've just never really been... maybe one time. I kind of sort of went on one date one time with this mm-hmm. guy that I do still kind of talk to. And we've talked for literally 7 years at this point.
7 years?
Yeah, 7 years. He's a joke. But 7 years. But the one time we did meet, I was like... It was very, like, he came to my apartment. It was very nice. We hung out. It was just, like, talking. We watched a movie. We ordered Chili's because he's like, Chili's is my favorite restaurant. And I was like, red flag.
I mean, he's a keeper. You better believe I love a Southwestern egg roll.
Oh, me too. But that's exactly what I said too. But then in my head, I was also like, wait a minute. Are you trying to keep me indoors? but it was very cute. And then like one of my smoke alarms started going off and he like climbed up this ladder and he like fixed it. And he was like, hold this hammer. I don't know why we needed a hammer for the smoke detector, but that's not my business. And I was like, so he was coming down like off this like ladder or whatever the hell he was standing on. And I was like, in my head, I was like, this is it. This is the moment I'm about to be smooched.
Oh, yes.
And this fool literally reached right behind me, put that hammer on the dresser and turned his back. Then he spent the night with me.
Oh.
Yeah. We still never kissed.
Wait, were you in the same bed?
Yeah. And we still never kissed. And then he went home the next day and we've just been friends, I guess, forever.
Wait, that's truly wild to sleep in someone's bed and not even be like, hey, would you like it? I'm not saying, like, you know, you sleep in the same bed, you deserve a kiss, but
yeah.
I feel like you climb in the bed and you go, can I have a kiss? I would at least ask. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking. How interesting. But that would have been so fucking cute. Like, what a treat for him to climb down, put the hammer down, and be like,
I know. I was like, this is like a movie. It's going to be very cute. Like, you just fix something that shouldn't have been broken to begin with. And then you're like being very helpful. I'm like, this is so nice. And then nothing happened. And I definitely did not say anything. Would you have said something, actually? Would you have been like, excuse me. Now, the next day, I was like, what the fuck was going on? I was like, I have a couple questions. But
in the moment, I would have been like, are you going to kiss me?
Oh, I would never do that. I think it's because I spend so... Tell me if... I mean, I guess you don't feel like this based on the answer, but as a comedian and stuff, don't you feel like you spend so much time, like, being, quote-unquote, like, in control of a room or a crowd or the way people see you that when it comes to relationships, you're like, I don't want to be in control of this. I don't want to, like, raise this situation.
No. 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 I love being in control of everything. I try to control relationships and dates and how they go. So, like, in the moment, if someone was, I'm very much a power bottom. If someone had gotten, like, close enough to me, be like, you can kiss.
Oh.
I love being in control. I do not like relinquishing control at any time. Probably why I'm single, because I'm trying to make things happen with, like, wheeling and dealing instead of just letting things happen.
You are. You're a power bottom. See, I'm rock bottom. I'm like, if you hit this, you may want to change your life.
Oh, no! Wait, Benton, do you watch any reality television based around love?
I watch Love Island because nothing makes me happier than when people get in a fight on Love Island UK and they're like, listen here, scrupid. I can't fucking stand you going west. Absolutely scrupid. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Did you watch Love is Blind?
I tried to watch Love is Blind. That's the one where they're in the boxes, right? They're in like the milk crates.
Yeah, they're in the pods and they have to find love. And let me tell you, I started with season two. I don't know why, but it's incredible. There's this one person on it named Shane who is the funniest person. He's like crunching on Adderalls the whole time. You don't see it, but you see it in the eyes. And there's this one scene where he's in the pods and every time they cut to him, he's in a different position. He is just moving. He like doesn't stop moving. He's pounding little bottles of red wine at one point. It's truly the most incredible show I've ever seen in my whole fucking life. Yes, hosted by Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey, who are in the second act of their careers hosting reality shows that they call experiments. The second one is called The Ultimatum, which is another insane thing. The premise of the show is I'm going to embarrass my partner by making them fly across the country to meet Nick and Vanessa Lachey, where I say, either marry me or I'm going to spend 3 weeks fucking somebody else. And at the end of the 3 weeks, I'm going to come back to you and be mad that you're not this new fucking person I'm having a honeymoon phase with. And you're going to get mad at me. We're going to fight and maybe we'll get married. It's incredibly messy. The last three episodes get pretty dark.
Okay, wait, I would watch that now. I will say I sometimes avoid reality shows because, and you'll know this, I like, because you're a fan, I love Drag Race, and those girls are, and I've been lucky enough that I got to go and be like on the guest in Drag Race, and you have been literally the queen of Drag Race. And but literally, like, you know how hard those girls are working? Like, they're learning dance routines and choreography for $100,000, and then you have like literally people, what is that show on Netflix where you just didn't have to have sex for a month? Like a month or something, and you won $100,000.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah. I loved it. That's all you have to do is just not have sex.
I just want to be a part. Like, I feel like Ariel and the Little Mermaid, where I'm like, I just want to be part of that world. Because I'm like, I'm not part of that world. Like, people aren't like dying to have sex with me. They're not dying to date me. I would, like, if I was in that house, it'd be like, don't have sex with Nicole. Everyone would be like, easy.
That's not true. So you're saying like you want to be part of like the hot people privilege?
The hot person world. Like, I want to live in a bubble.
Where you never have to retake a photo. Like, you never say, like, let's do it again. Yeah. It's never that. Okay, I would like that too, just because, like, it's so wild to me that the idea of, like, That the concept of someone not being attracted to you is that, like, can you guys believe we have to do this yes. for a month? A month of people not wanting this? And you're just, it's just, I would also like to just see that. Just fill it for a minute.
Right? Like, I don't know. It must be wild. Like, okay, I was on a plane once and this lady walked on. She was the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my whole life. She wasn't famous or nothing like that. She went all the way to the back of the plane to coach. But, like, we all stared at her. We were all like, like, I even gasped a little bit. Like, oh, it's so wild. But also, I need you to watch. Oh, wait, never mind. I don't want to say that about the person. There's this person on the show who's wild looking, and I gasped when I saw it. But I'm trying really hard not to be, like, mean, because they are people.
You said, supposedly, they're on this show.
There's this one person who looks like Grandmother Willows from Pocahontas, but she's an actual person. And I gasped when I saw her. I was like, how do you look like a tree, and you're a person? I love the show.
I wanted to be a tree so bad growing up.
Really? What kind of tree?
I used to eat watermelon seeds because I just knew, Nicole, that it would make plant powers grow inside me, and I was going to be a poison ivy-ass tree bitch. I just knew I was, Nicole. I used to pray. I'd be like, please, God, let a tree go inside of me. Please, please.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so Mother Willow, I'm all for it. Where is she?
That's so fucking funny. Please, God, make me a tree so I can stand right here. That's so funny. It's like the opposite of what Jenny's praying for in Forrest Gump.
Right. He's like, please give me wings to fly, Lord.
So you used to work at a Mac counter in Nashville?
I've worked at a Mac counter all over Nashville. Then I worked at Sephora when I met you, I believe. I managed a Sephora.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I've worked at tons of different makeup places. I've done freelance makeup, special effects mm-hmm. makeup, many of makeups.
What got you into working in makeup? Tell me about it. Give me the scoop. And did anyone ever hit on you at, like, the makeup counters?
Okay, let me see. So I got into it because I loved horror movies, and I mm-hmm. in my head, that I guess that registered when I was young. Like, I knew that was makeup, like, because what else would it be? You know, I didn't think it was like blood mm-hmm. and stuff. And so I loved that, and I loved Elvira, and she had a ton of makeup on, and I loved, like, Ursula, and I just loved, like, Cruella de Vil. Anybody that had, like, tons of makeup, I just liked characters like that. And as I, like, figured out, like, oh, it's makeup, and then there's, like, monster makeup, I just started watching. I was right at the dawn of YouTube. I started watching, like, just insane videos of people, like, making staples into, like, scars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just learned it from there. And then literally there was nowhere to do makeup where I lived except for on ourselves. So it was just me with, you know, black smoky eyes. And then I went to college and I was like, what's a Mac counter? And I just applied for a job there, and I randomly got it, and I just was there forever because they paid good, and I was in college, and it was, like, a cool, edgy job to have, and you could be openly queer there, which I think is, like, people don't think about this, but retail is one of the only environments that has been around for years where they celebrate gay people, at least to an extent. Like, at least, like, you could You're be right. gay. Like, you could be yeah. gay at a makeup counter or a Macy's, which is why when you go to, like, a retail store, gay people are like, I love a Nordstrom. Like, it's because there's something about it. It's like, okay to be like, do you like these pearls? Do you love this bag? Like, it's like they uh-huh. want you to be that way.
I love that. I never thought about that, but that's true. Like, yeah. I remember the first time I went to a makeup counter, I was like, oh, I think that man is gay. I mean, I wasn't like, oh, get him! But I was just like... I just remember clocking it, being like, oh, okay, that's fun.
Yeah, malls have always been, like, a safe space for, like, queers and weirdos and people who are different, like, punk kids, like, goth kids, goth mall goths. Like, I always thought mm-hmm. that. I spent so much time in malls. Like, those are the people that, like, when you think about mall culture, it's those kind of, like, freaks and geeks that make mall culture. Mm-hmm. It's not really popular kids. Like, they're just there, they shop and leave.
Yes, but
they have beautiful things to do.
Yes, they have to go off and be beautiful at a party or something. Yeah. Show off their Abercrombie. I once had a costumer. We had done a fitting. He was the costumer on Loosely Exactly. His name was Jerry. He was so wonderful. I loved him so much. We finished a fitting and he was like, all right, time for me to go haunt the mall. And it made me laugh so hard. Just thinking about Jerry, like... just like like walking around the mall haunting it. I loved him so much. He was so wonderful. I hope he's well.
I hope you're well. Malls also. Oh, you asked me if anyone ever hit on me at the makeup counter. I would say older.
Wow, good memory.
Older. Oh, I'm used to retaining the question, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Older women would, I mean, aggressively hit on me, like even like weird stuff, like, you know, when you work a retail job, like, mm-hmm. the only question that you were talking about with your coworkers is, where are we going to lunch? Where are you going to lunch? Where are you going to lunch? Who's having lunch? Are you having Panda Express? Are you doing Panda Express? Are you doing Orange Julius? What are you doing? Like, that's all you care about. And so mm-hmm. We had a barbecue place in the mall, and so we would go there and get barbecue, and, you know, I'm just eating ribs in the mall very casually. But I would come back into the...
I love that. Eating ribs in the mall is the wildest sentence I've ever heard. I was just eating ribs at the mall next to the fucking Contempo. Yeah,
next to Claire's, getting my ears pierced. And when I would go back, you know, we would have makeup appointments. And I was doing this lady's makeup and she went, "Your hands smell like barbecue. It reminds me of my husband."
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, I had barbecue, and I'm like blending this smoky eye out, and I'm like blending. It's always the same smoky eye. They're always a Pinterest picture of a gold smoky eye. We think we're groundbreaking, but I'm blending out this smoky eye, and she's like, "Yeah," and she, you know, when you're doing so much makeup, you close your eyes. Well, she had one eye open, mm-hmm. and she's like just staring at me with one eye.
That's
and she's
funny.
Like, and she's like, "You have beautiful eyes that I can look into as well." And I was like, oh. "Okay, thank you." And I mean, it just went on like that forever, and then I like. When I get nervous and I'm doing makeup, I sweat. I can't help it. So I was mm-hmm. so I was like sweating, and then I sweat on her, and she like wiped her leg, and she was like, "You're sweating." And I was like, "Okay, I really have to. We have to finish. Like, we have to finish up."
Oh my god, you're sweating, and she's like about to fucking slip off her chair because she's coming.
But she was very nice. She did tip me $50, so that was nice. But
ooh, that's a good tip.
I know, especially because nobody thinks they should ever tip makeup artists for some reason. It, like, never happens.
It's funny because I feel like we think servers are the only people who get tipped. But I'm like, no, you tip drivers and you tip, I don't know. I can't
anyone
think of
who's,
another
anyone
other
who's doing something you don't want or can't do, you tip pretty much.
You tip them.
Yeah. Like plumbers, you know, housekeepers, makeup artists, hairdressers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's any of those people.
Tip everybody.
Really, you should try if you can.
Wait, Benton, we have to take a break.
Okay.
See Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, "Me encanta Poppy." I think I said, "I love you, Daddy." Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back, Benton. Tell me how you got into stand up.
I got into stand up, obviously through trauma. originally, but I think we all, I think everybody knows that. So I think that's all stand up. So we don't need to talk about it. But I, that, and I just, I loved Joan Rivers. I would watch, like, my parents would watch Joan Rivers, and I would like sneak to the end of the hallway and like sit at the end of our hallway because I could see the television. Mm-hmm. And I would watch Joan Rivers, and I just thought it was, I was like, she was just everything I loved as like a gay Southern child. She had like boas on and sequins, and like she was done up, and she had these colored nails, and she was like a extra funny little Dolly Parton to me, and I loved Dolly Parton. and I was like, oh my God, like that was the first time I'd ever really seen someone be funny as like a job. Like I didn't really know that was like a skill or a talent. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I remember being like, oh, every time that I make someone laugh, I would, in my head, like even when I was little, I'd be like, oh, like a, that's like a comedian does. That's a comedian does. And so I think I just always had that. And then when I got to college, I was like, I'm going to take a comedy class. And it was,
ooh,
it was
comedy class.
Yeah. It was, which is just you going to get the opinions of other people that don't know how to do comedy. It's, you shouldn't really do it. But I just started there, and then I just kept going and going. And I, in Nashville, at first, I had a really hard time ever getting like up in an open mic or anything. And I was only, and if I ever did get on like a showcase or something, it would be like a local, like all women showcase they would put me on, or, or something. And like I've only ever opened for women before. Like I never get booked to open for men, which is like fine with me. I don't give a shit. But I was really hard to like get stage time because like it was like, you know, they want to be together, like all their bro friends, and like I was up there being like, you know, telling jokes about like straight men are weird and like that's not the vibe. And so I started my own show. I started a show, Hateful Best Friend, which I just did my own show, and it became really popular. It was like one of the biggest like self-produced comedy shows in Nashville at the time, and I booked mainly women and like LGBTQ artists. We did a big like Trevor Project fundraiser every year, like, and so I just kept doing shows that were like connected to charities because I don't know, I just that matters to me. And so that kind of, that's what kind of kept me doing comedy, is I was hosting these like fundraisers doing stand-up, and then I kept doing that, and then I finally got booked at Zany's. And then you were the first time I was ever actually booked to host for someone, and it wasn't like the second choice, like the first person didn't cancel or something. You were my first, like, you were my first, like, they called me and said, like, we think you would do good with Nicole's crowd. It was like the first show I ever did that with.
Aww. Well, that's delightful. I love that. I love that you said that you tie charity to your comedy shows. I think that's like really nice, and it's really sweet. I recently did a like a gala for the environment. I have very little information about it, but the show truly started during the day, and it was a room that was not there for comedy. They were there to, I think, talk to each other.
Well, comedy in the daytime is so fun, though.
It's the most fun. And we were outside. And there was a, I held for a plane. I was like, I guess we should just hold for this plane. And then it like slowed down. It was like, oh, a comedy show's happening. I'm flying over Nicole Byer. Let me slow the fuck down. And it took so long. And I was like, okay. And then at one point I was like, I'm going to just talk about my pussy. And then all the other comics booked on this like insane show were like laughing. But there was this one, my friend was like, there was one woman who was very angry with everything you said. And I was like, of course, I was talking about my pussy as the sunset, you know? It was like a little too early for it.
We were like, God was high in the sky and I was talking about it. But the tying comedy to charity, I think you're a good representation of that as a person. Like it's to me, especially right now, it's really important to me to work with comics and be around comics who like care about things other than comedy. If that makes sense. And like I think like your cover you just did and the cover story that went with it, and they talked about how you were like you just doing what you do is opening doors that someone else may have the opportunity to do it. And like that is to me the most important thing that any minority, especially comedian, and I hate using the word minority because there's so many of us, you know. but in general, like should be doing. We should all be doing that, because like those, I mean, if I didn't have like people like you to be booked on to host for, or like, you know, people like Phoebe Robinson or all these people like that are doing like stuff to make jobs for other people, then like I couldn't do that for somebody else. Like someone else, like that's really important to me. And I think to this generation of comedians, that's really important. And I love that change. I'm like so ready for that to be like the norm of comedy, to like give a shit about something.
Yeah. I mean, I just like, I don't know. I like the older I get, the more I'm like, there is so much room at the table. So it's like, just like make room for somebody else, or I don't know, like somebody getting a job is not taking away from me getting a job. I already have a job. So it's like,
also, no one can do what you do. Mm-hmm. No one, literally no one.
No one has as much energy as me.
That's true. It's important though, because comedy is one of those things that is like, out of, I mean, I know there's like a lot of smoke and mirrors to like movement sometimes, but in general, like as far as the industry of entertainment goes, I think comedy is one of the ones that is like the slowest to adapt to like diversity and stuff. Like we are still like lineups and lineups of like dude after dude in a flannel, which is nothing wrong with that. Like they're great comedians, or you know, most of the time, most of them. But like, you know, in general, like if you really go to a comedy show, like 9 out of 10, you'll hear very similar things. If you hear something different that's like out of pocket about like a pansexual experience, or you know, like a black trans man, like you would be shocked. You'd be like, "What?" Like you would not be prepared. You would never think, "Oh, a comedy show, I will hear about this thing that I relate to." You think you're going to hear about, you know, straight relationships, straight dating, straight sex. You know, you're going to hear like very kind of calculated like jokes about like gay stereotypes or this type of stereotype, or it's one or the other normally. And I think that that's changing with people like you, because you guys are doing all the comedians that I'm following and looking up to recently, especially now, is like they're doing it like they're not making it a big thing. They're not like, today is my day where I post about politics. It's just like you're being extremely funny and then also speaking when it matters.
Yeah, I try to like, I don't know, put shit out in the world that's like helpful. Like I learned that Plan B does not work for fat women. So every time I see something that refers fat women to a different, like a, what is it? A contraceptive thing, whatever, whatever Plan B is called. I always like try to post that to like make sure that my little fatties know that like you need two of them, or you need this other brand that I can't think of. And then I just like, I don't know. I love posting video. I haven't done it in a while, but I like to find videos of like alt comics that like maybe aren't well known and like posting a little bit of them. But it's also funny to think that like a lot of comedy shows are just the same people over and over and over again when you have like so many wonderful, unique voices. Like River Butcher on his new special, it's on Comedy Central, has this joke that made me laugh so hard. He was like, I've been to parties, spoken to white women, and I can talk about them. I used to be one, which is River's trans, and it's so funny. And he goes into how he's like, white women will ask what my pronouns are, and then I think the joke is like, what are you gonna do with them? And that was so funny to me. And then about how they misgender anyway after they've asked for the pronoun. I'm butchering this joke.
Yeah, I know the joke. She's like, she's a they.
Such a funny joke. Yes.
They're like, her pronouns are they. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's such a funny joke.
And to me, I'm like, no, it's not my experience. I don't know about being misgendered, but like, you've seen that interaction happen.
Yeah.
Like you've seen it happen. And it's just because like, just because you don't directly relate to something doesn't mean it's not very fucking funny.
Yeah. And you've also, I mean, and you relate in the sense of like, you've had someone like misrepresent your words or misunderstand something or try and get it wrong. Like you understand the awkwardness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, yeah. I mean, there's so many funny comedians and funny, I mean, like, just so many funny comedians out there. And it is, most shows are like a very, very similar run through. And I think it's because like a lot of the comedians that are like, don't fit into that like very heterosexual kind of like square are kind of off doing other things. Like they're also like creating their own shows or hosting or they're involved in writing or fashion, or they have multiple interests, not just comedy. Whereas like a lot of, you know, like a lot of comedians kind of dominate comedy because it is like their thing. Like it's what they do.
It's the only thing. Stand up. It's it.
And if you don't do it a certain way, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Which is interesting to me because I like to tell stories. I don't do like, you know, like a setup and a punch and a twist. Like I like to play with the format. I don't know. Comedy is... It's also subjective. Like, I'm not going to be funny to everybody. And everybody's not funny to me, baby.
100%.
Real quick, we got to take a break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
I have a question. Okay, yeah. So let's figure out who you want to date. Okay, because people be sliding in the DMs after. I had someone slide in my DMs recently trying to pass their brother off on me, to which I say, no, please don't sell your family to me. I don't want it. It just seems a little weird. I'd like to find the dick on my own, you know? Okay. So describe to me like your most perfect person.
I will say, and I don't even know if we're allowed to say this anymore, but I'm just going to be honest about it. I am attracted to like kind of stereotypical masculinity. I think it's because I grew up in the South and that was what I was around so much. Like that is my understanding of how men act. So I think that like obviously I'm going through puberty. I'm finding out, you know, how I feel about men and women. And so you kind of are attracted to like usually I think what you're kind of around in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very attracted to like stereotypically masculine men. I don't mean like it doesn't have to be like physically really. It's just like the attitude of masculinity is very specific to me.
Do you mean like somebody who's like slightly overbearing and will order your food for you at dinner?
Wait, what is what?
Someone who's slightly overbearing and will order your food for you at dinner?
No. I would like consensual masculinity.
So like what kind of masculine, like tell me.
Like when I say stereotypical, it's things that like, I don't believe these things make a man, but like to
like
me,
Axe body spray?
Like muscles, a bigger build, a hairy chest. Like, I think like that, or like me, like you don't have to have those things to be super masculine, but that's to me what is like stereotypically masculine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Things like that.
I'm on board. Okay. So tall, muscle, the brawny man, essentially.
Yeah, I'm also not into dating, which is a big thing among, you know, the LGBTQers, is they want to date someone that looks like them or is kind of like them. In my experience, I found that. That's not me. I want the opposite. We need to have different hobbies. We should have different interests. I want to have different conversations. I want to learn about what you like and start to enjoy it. Like, I don't want to date myself. That's creepy to me.
Interesting. I feel like I want to date somebody who has slightly same interests as me, but also, like, you know, bring some culture to my life, you know?
Yeah.
Bring a little flair, a little spice to my life. But, like, I do want to have some things in common.
Well, I guess I mean, like, I want, like, we could both enjoy reading books, but we don't need to enjoy the same book, like, the identical, like, genres. Okay. If we do, that's fine. But, like, I think maybe this is just, like, also a little PTSD, because a lot of times when you work in cosmetics, people are, like, always trying to hook you up with other boys that work in cosmetics. And, like, sure. I'm just, like, I don't, the last thing I want to ever do is have to talk to the person I'm dating about makeup. I do not want to talk to you about it. I don't pretend like it doesn't exist when I don't have to work around it.
You don't want to go to bed at night with someone being like, "Night, babe. I think we're out of Ruby Woo at the counter."
Mm-mm, no, that's a nightmare fuel. I don't want it. I love that there are people that do want that. Like, I think that's how I am. That's me. Like, if I'm not like, I think a lot of times when you say that, people are like, "Oh, so you don't like fem?" You know, like, and that's not true, because I'm super feminine in that sense, and so like I'm all for it. But I already am that, so I'm not looking. I'm not like attracted to it.
Sure. Okay. If you start dating someone, are you going to be like upfront that you haven't kissed or, how you say fucked before? Like, is that something that you would talk about, or would you just like let it happen?
Is don't
that
know.
An invasive question?
I think, not for me. I mean, what?
Okay.
but I think I would be upfront about it. I guess it would depend on the situation. Like, I don't honestly at this point, and maybe this is just my feeling as well. Like, sex and that stuff doesn't feel very big anymore. It doesn't feel like a big thing, even though I know it is, and like it's great if
it's
it feels
not.
Like, well, I mean, if it feels that way to someone, like, that's cool, but like,
oh,
it just
sure.
I think it used to feel that way to me, but now it's just like, even without having sex, I know enough about sex that if I wanted to have sex, it would not be like a "what do we do?" I wouldn't be like confused. You know what I mean? Like, I understand the concept. There's nothing you're gonna like, I'm not like tricked, like, "wait, what?" So I think I don't know that I need to say it, but if it's like, if it comes up in conversation, I'm not gonna be like, "and just so you know, this is fresh." Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna be like,
what
a
treat that would be. I would die if someone looked me dead in the eyes and said, "honey, is fresh." I would be like, "well, now I have to marry you. This is literally perfect. I love it so much."
I will say the people that I have told in conversation, like, never, they always think I'm lying. Like, they never believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm just like, and then I'm just like, okay, like, how do I argue that? How do I be like, "no, I promise." Like, I'm just like, okay. Like, but no one's ever believed me.
What a funny thing to lie about.
Truly.
I used to think sex was like the most important thing. Like, we gotta fuck. But the older I get, the more horny I get for love. And then a nice little treat is a fat dick in my mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, are you nice to me? Do you want to talk to me? And then do you want to put your dick in my mouth? Like, it comes third now.
Right. Don't give blowjobs to boys who don't care.
Yes. If you don't care, do not bear.
Do you care about dick size? Because you said, do you care about that?
Okay, listen. I used to be a size queen. I used to be like, "I don't like them tiny." But I have gotten shamed for body shaming.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Now I'm at a point in my life where, like, I would like to get to know somebody. And if they pull down their pants and it's small, we can work. There's a place called the pleasure chest where we can get a strap on. We can figure it out. Fingies are fun. Tongues are fun.
Fingies are fun. See, I worked with a girl who she only picked her partners based on basket shopping.
Which, oh.
You know basket shopping?
Looking at bulges.
Yeah. So she would only that's the only way she would pick a partner. And I was like, how does that work? That has to be a numbers game.
I mean, it has to be. Then also, some people don't have big flaccid dicks.
Right. I was like,
some people
okay.
don't have big floppers. Like, what?
She would tell you that she would go into detail about that as if she was giving a TED talk. Like, she had the secret to life figured out. Also, perpetually single, like, never was with anyone more
that's
than I guess those
funny.
Experiences. But she would let you know, like, that's the key to finding a man. And I was like, stare at them?
Yeah, to just be staring at their crotches.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if they're wearing jeans, sometimes it's hard to see. Like, are you only you're only going to go on someone a date with someone who's wearing sweatpants? Like, ma'am, what? What are we doing?
It's so crazy to me. But I did love her, like, her vivid use of the word basket shopping all the time. It was baskets. They were anything you could really hold something in, she would refer to them as, which I found to be very
I love it.
Very fun.
A jug. Look at that jug on that man. Oh, look at that picture.
Look at that fruit bowl.
Ooh, look at that cup. That's so funny. That's truly so wild. Okay, well, if you are tall, masculine leaning, not into makeup, maybe like football, get into Ben's DMs.
Yeah, I truly sound like one of those horrible people that's on Grindr, like no fats, no fems. But that's not.
You sound like somebody who went to the party on January 6th in Washington, D.C.
Insurrection. Like because I would never, ever be like, ew, get away from me. I would never, that's just not the vibe. I just am those things, okay? I am the fat, I am the femme. One and done.
One and done, darling. I think it's so funny when people are like, no fats. There's this one guy on Love is Blind. His name is Shake. He kept asking people if they like worked out. And he was like, can I put you on my shoulders at a game? And someone was like, yeah, I mean, if you could do it. And he's like, would I be able to do it? He's very intent on
that's
finding
horrible.
I know, finding a thin person on a show called Love is Blind. I'm like, honey, you signed up to maybe end up with a fat. But Netflix, they only had one little chunk and I don't think she found anybody. But it was just so funny to me.
My favorite thing of whenever like reality dating shows have like one girl who has like an ass and they're like, she's the fat mm-hmm. one. She's the fatty McFatterson. that's she can barely fit through the door. That one. You're like, what?
She's going to have trouble here. She's too big.
Yeah. And they're always like, I don't know. I just want a small girl. Like that girl just has hips. Like she just, mm-hmm. I don't understand the problem here. I want to see a reality show about love where all the contestants look like they should be on TLC.
I would watch that. There was one called Big Love, which I don't think you could like find anymore. It was on Hulu. It was on Fox. And it was plus size women where instead of their name and occupation, it was their name and their weight. Can you even? And
what?
They were all vying for the love of a man shaped like a potato. He looked like Mr. Potato Head through and through. And these women were like, I don't know if he's going to like me. And I'm like, girl, you could find any old potato anywhere. And a lot of the women were like, this is my last chance at love. It was so wild. And I loved it. I mean, bring back that reality television to me. Bring back Big Love. Bring back the Swan, where women competed for plastic surgeries.
Yeah, bring back Next. I want Next to come back.
Next is so funny.
Next is so... The concept of Next, like the pitch meeting for Next, where someone is like, so we're going to have three random facts that literally no one would ever want to know about someone. And then and immediately when you step off the bus, you can Next that motherfucker. Next him.
Next. Ugh, it's so funny.
And it would always be like, you know, Joey only wears Women's Gap cargo pants. And you're like, okay.
It's like, okay, Joey.
There's a lot of pitch meetings I would love to be in.
Well, Benton, we've reached the end.
Oh, this is so fun.
Thank you for doing this. Okay, I usually ask all my guests this. I did go through a phase where I stopped asking because I was like, I'm going to change stuff, but I'm right back to where I started. Would you date me, Benton?
Would I date you?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. If I was into women, I would date you in a heartbeat. What are you talking about?
Thank you. Thank you.
You would be so fun. You are so fun. You're hilarious. And you're going to win an Emmy. So that's basically an EGOT. And I would like to be signed up for that marriage.
That's so nice. You know I'm not going to win as long as RuPaul is nominated, which is fine. It's been a fun tradition to dress up and lose to RuPaul, and I hope I get to do it again this year.
Listen, you're going to get it. I'm telling you. It's an EGOT, baby.
Girl, all right. Well, do you have anything you want to promote?
I have... the middle of, what is it, where were we in July? Yeah, the middle of this month, I have a really cool merch collaboration coming out with Crystal Draw Stuff. It's like a fun, cutesy punk collection that's all based around mental health. Yeah, it's all about like being different and mental health. It's really cool. And we already talked about my Patreon, which is at Benton Ray, and my podcast coming out later in the year, Hateful Best Friend. So that'll be fun. And that's it.
I love that. Well, if you like this episode of Lava Shaming, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever the fuck it's called. And then if you write an email to Why Won't You Date Me podcast at gmail.com and write something nasty hitting on me, I will read it. So this person said, I want to dress us both up in antennae and bee wings and drizzle you with honey, making sure that none of you gets in your puss. Thank you. I would lick all the honey off your body and call you my queen bee. Then I would wear a strap on backwards so it would look like a bee stinger. Then I'd fuck you with my stinger dildo while you scream, pollinate me, daddy. After you come, we'd have Honey Nut Cheerios, then watch The Secret Life of Bees with Jennifer Hudson and Queen Latifah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hope that was nasty enough. I'm asexual. That was very funny. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.